This is the Matt Thomas Show.
Yeah. 202 here on Sports Talk 790, the Matt Thomas Show. In the final hour without Matt Thomas, Fancy Matt is out doing Fancy Matt things. He's out traveling and hitting the road with the Houston Rockets, so he's going to be out for this hour. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to have, of course, some more Astros talk as we go along. We'll try to hear from some of the Astros players as they are speaking to the media right now. We also have the positive segment, Astros positive things only, coming up at 2:30. None of this negative Nancy stuff, none of this where's Carlos Correa going or Lance McCullers Jr. is getting hurt. It's all positive stuff coming up about the Astros at 2:30. We've been doing it every day since after game three when they got down 2-1, and they haven't lost since, so we have to keep doing it. That's how we roll here at Sports Talk 790. But right now, pleased to be joined by Aaron Reese of The Athletic, covering the Houston Texans. And, well, Aaron, I guess we can get right into it. Obviously, there are a number of things that are really, really wrong and broken with the Texans, especially when they go on the road and their latest embarrassing loss coming yesterday to the now and continued and still undefeated Arizona Cardinals. But if I had to say the Texans' biggest problem, the thing that is holding them back the most right now, it would be what?
Oh, man. Where to begin? I guess they haven't been able. I feel like the defense has been pretty bad of late, but like the through line of the whole season, you can say kind of every week has been a problem, is that they can't run the ball. They can do it last year, they can't do it again. And it really is a problem for this team in particular, because they have a rookie quarterback who is not very mobile, who kind of, when he's put in obvious passing situations, and a team's going to tee off on him, he has no ability to kind of escape and make something happen if a play breaks down. And plays break down pretty often for this team just because they are talent deficient on the offensive line and talent deficient in the receiving core. And so being behind the sticks is just a huge problem for this team. And they go three and out a lot. They don't make sustained drives, and then their defense gets worn down, and then the defense gives up too many explosive plays. So I guess you would say it all starts kind of with the running game, but certainly not the only place to just put some blame on this team.
Yeah, and so obviously, I mean, it's just gotten really bad as far as the Texans, and losing your last 2 weeks, a combined 62-8, is, and then you throw in the 40-0 in there, the three out of the last four. At least they were somewhat competitive with the Patriots and held a lead in that game. But man, I wonder, they looked fairly, I don't want to say impressive, like they were going to win the division or anything, but that game one, week one against the Jaguars was pretty good. The first half against the Browns was pretty good. And then Tyrod Taylor goes down. How much of an oversimplification is it to say that the main reason that they're not competing in these games also is that Tyrod Taylor, how much better would they be? Because, you know, we always talk about wins above replacement and replacement level quarterback and all that type of stuff, which Davis Mills seems to be below that level. But how much of an impact has there been, do you think, in these last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't think, what did they lose by yesterday? 26 points. I don't think Tyrod is 26 points worth 26 points. I don't think he's worth 28 points or whatever it is they lost by to the Colts. He's certainly not worth 40 points, but I do think that you see every game there's kind of this one disaster series or one thing that kind of flips the game. And a lot of times it does hinge on some sort of Davis Mills turnover. You know, he had a strip sack, and then, the Cardinals scored off that. And so I think that, you know, maybe you don't see kind of, Tyrod kind of stabilizes things. Things don't get so out of hand, if he's the quarterback. But beyond that, I mean, I think, you know, we can kind of look now at week one and be like, okay, the Jaguars were equally disastrous and maybe just a little bit more of a disaster early on because they're a less experienced head coach, or less experienced in the NFL head coach, you know, a rookie quarterback starting at the time too, all those sorts of things. And then, you know, the Browns, I think, you know, kind of people have some questions about that offense. They didn't do well, be great in that game. And it overall was just kind of, an early week two game. Things happen. I think really it is not so much just that they were so much better than with Tyrod. They definitely are better. But I think the truth of the matter is just like, this is a really talent deficient team. That's kind of what people made jokes they would be like all year, right? And like, I think the early season kind of gave people some hope that maybe that isn't it. But the truth is, you know, like, this is just like a sport of small sample sizes. And weird stuff can happen from 1 week to the next. And as we see more and more of this team, they're revealing who they really are.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's like you said, week to week. Like, the Tennessee Titans lose to the Jets, and then a few weeks later, they're completely dominating the Chiefs and winning 27-3. It's a week-to-week league. We've seen that all the time and all over the place, and there are a number of examples that we can go to. So it's almost, I guess, the week one would be the outlier for the most part for the Houston Texans, and maybe the following weeks are who they really are?
That's what I would say, right? I mean, I think that's fair. I don't know if necessarily, I think a rookie quarterback makes the issues look worse or exaggerates it to some degree. If it's not raining and they maybe get that fourth down conversion early on against the Bills, maybe it doesn't become 40-0. Maybe they don't even just score one touchdown. Maybe they score two touchdowns and the script of the game is different and they only lose by 20 points or something. But yeah, I mean, I think this is just a bad team. We knew they were going to be a bad team. I think that the only surprising thing to me, or at least the thing that is maybe alarming if you're the Texans, is that, you know, they knew they were not going to win a lot of games, but I think they hoped they would at least be competitive. This is one of the oldest rosters in the NFL. They purposely chose to build out with all these veterans and stuff to create this culture of how to work and sustain some competitiveness so it wouldn't be so ugly, rather than, you know, sign a bunch of young guys and take a bunch of flyers and stuff, even though they're at the start of a rebuild. And, you know, it obviously has not worked out. I mean, they're not competitive. And, you know, as much as they want to say they're a tight-knit group and they're giving it all, they're all, and they like what they're seeing, and David Culley says every week that, you know, I feel better, practice was better this week, yada, yada. Like, then on game days, you know, they're ripping each other for being undisciplined. So, like, you know, nothing really is going to plan, even in terms of when they knew they were going to be bad. They're still not even kind of winning with the little edges that they thought they were with themselves.
Aaron Reese of The Athletic here on the Matt Thomas Show here on Sports Talk 790. And Aaron, you mentioned David Culley, and I'm curious your thoughts. I mean, it's tough to say, how would you assess his coaching? They're 1-6 and just getting destroyed. How much of this does fall on his shoulders?
You know, I think every game there's kind of some sort of mismanagement thing that you highlight. He is kind of, and falls a little bit less under the microscope. We're not, I think, going as granular in terms of thinking about his game management things, because the game's been such blowouts, because that these individual possessions do not feel so important. But, you know, he clearly, I think, has shown that he kind of is at least up right now, not up to the task as a game manager. He doesn't provide the team any sort of edge as a play caller or a designer. You know, he's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the defensive coordinator. And he is, what else does he have? And I think he has that his players are supposed to play hard for him and rally. And, you know, I don't think the Texans have quit. And I do think that it's a very talent deficient roster. But, you know, this is the NFL. It's hard for games not to be at least sometimes within one possession. You know, even if the teams have drastically different records, these games, other teams are still being more competitive. Other bad teams are being more competitive with very good teams week to week. This team is by far the least competitive team in the league. I mean, they have the worst scoring margin in the league, even worse than the Jets, who got smoked by the Patriots just yesterday. So I think that, you know, that has to fall on David Culley. It's hard to give him anything other than a feeling great at this point, even in the context of kind of what he's inheriting.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about, of course, I suppose the elephant in the room when it comes to the Houston Texans, the Deshaun Watson situation, rumors swirling last week about it possibly being the Miami Dolphins. We've also heard about the Panthers possibly being in the mix as well. Trade deadline looming. It'll be next Tuesday. Just what are you feeling or hearing or as far as him getting moved and his possible destination?
I mean, those are the two teams that I feel like are the ones that kind of at least been reported as most clearly, you know, teams that are interested. He obviously has a no trade clause, so he has some leverage here in terms of where he wants to go. You know, I think the big thing here is that the Texans are clearly motivated to get a deal done before the deadline for whatever reason. We'll see if it actually happens. You know, there obviously is some level of debate over whether now is the right time to do it. You know, one of the big risks they inherit if they do this, especially if Deshaun is eligible to play, and he currently is that if you trade him to a team and then that team wins a few more games because Deshaun Watson is the quarterback, then the draft picks that you're taking on in this trade get worse. So why not wait until the draft or until the end of the season, you know the exact slots of the picks, and then you make the trade. There's certainly an argument to that. I think the flip side to it is that we don't have a ton of certainty that, you know, he might not be criminally charged. He's still under investigation. When it comes to the civil matters, he's not going to be deposed until February. Discovery period doesn't end until March. And a trial, if it were to go to trial in the civil cases, isn't going to be set until May after, the NFL draft. So the point is that I think things could potentially get worse for him. That's not to say they will. There's not a lot of clarity right now, and that we don't know if there will be clarity by the time they maybe make the trade during the offseason. So if you make the move now, you're at least kind of, I think, hedging against the possibility of his trade value decreasing if things get worse. Obviously, that is not the foremost concern if he's levied with kind of any criminal charges and very serious allegations. But when it comes to this topic, that is relevant.
All right. So do you think he's moved by next Tuesday?
I do. That's my sense of it.
Okay. All right, Aaron. Well, thank you for the time. As always, appreciate it. Aaron Reese of The Athletic. Just let the folks know what you have up at the website right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to read about yesterday's game, if yesterday wasn't enough pain for you, you can go read that. And then tomorrow we'll have something up kind of about the trade deadline with Watson and then kind of some other players to keep an eye on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Aaron. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Aaron Reese of The Athletic. You can find him on Twitter at Aaron J. Reese, R-E-I-S-S, there on the Twitterverse. All right, that's going to do it for that segment and some Texans talk. Back to the Astros in the next segment. We also have coming up at 2:30 the Astros Positivity segment. Jacob, you got a song lined up for that one? Or we need to brainstorm? Ooh, all right, Jacob's ready. I'm ready to hear what the positive song is coming up at 2:30 talking some Stros at 713-212-5790. 713-212-5790.